This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, that's what we're talking about. 6 o'clock, gang. Welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on the Fan, and of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Have a great show for you today. Unless you really like this thing called baseball, because the New York Yankees get swept by the last place Oakland A's. Every game close, every game competitive, every game a loser. And the New York Mets, while they salvaged the last game against the Nationals, who cares? They're done. As they embarrass themselves in the first three, and everyone's going crazy. Oh, DeGrom at home. So what? It's over. In any event, a lot in between, football to boot. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
You know, I'm doing all right, Craigie. I do feel, though,
here
for
we
Yankee
go.
Fans out there,
here
this
comes,
could be.
Comes the shot.
I've been telling you over the last, 40 games now, they're under 500.
They got swept by a bad team.
I mean, they did. I mean, and they fly Aroldis Chapman all the way across the country for one game, one inning. And that reeks of panic to me.
No, it doesn't. Joe Girardi had that right.
The people
that are out there being critical that the Yankees threw Aroldis Chapman out there, Joe Girardi said, hey, we're paying him. We pay him to play. We get on a plane and fly out. He gets on a plane.
Well, the only good news is that
I like what Joe Girardi said. He pitched a perfect eighth.
The only good news is that you don't have to watch losing baseball today because they have off. And then comes the Angels that you can, extract a little revenge on. And then comes the Texas. Rangers. And then you're going to the White Sox. And then you're at Houston. And that's when it really gets interesting.
Sure.
But
right.
I don't know if they could stay with Houston. I'm not really sure.
They don't have
to. But we'll have to see now. So losers are 6 in a row. That's not good.
No. Nope.
They get swept. I don't know.
I know what you're doing. We all know what you're doing right now. Because when you wake up this morning, they're in first place.
Yeah, 2 percentage
points
ahead
swept.
Of the Red Sox. The Red Sox have more wins than you do.
They got swept.
The Red Sox
they're in
have
first
more wins
place,
than you do.
And now you have, as you just pointed out.
The Red Sox have more wins than you do.
They're in first place. Meanwhile, your beloved Mets, which I know you don't want to get to because it's the same story every single day.
Well, I'm done talking about that.
And I appreciate that because it's over. It's done.
I don't need to hear it anymore about the Mets. I know what Jacob DeGrom did yesterday. He did a great job. He had, today's his birthday, so
right.
He celebrated with a home run.
Yep.
And an eight-inning gem.
Yep.
The problem is that, if it isn't for Daniel Murphy screwing it up in the field, it is for Daniel Murphy just ripping the cover off the baseball against Matt Pitchin. They gave up 22 runs in the previous three games. They weren't even in those games. It wasn't even close.
No, it was a blow. It was embarrassing. It really was embarrassing how non-competitive they were.
But, 40,000 fans yesterday at Citi Field for a Father's Day tilt. It was good.
And the uniforms or no?
I know why they have the light blue for prostate and all that other stuff. I mean, it's okay. I mean,
it's hard to argue because of the charity connected to the cause.
Yeah, I know, but whatever. I mean, they do this, with breast cancer and everything else. So it's good. I just would say this. Every time you're waiting for them to, okay, this is it, somebody else gets hurt. Somebody else is not out there. And, now this pitching staff is so, up and down, inconsistent, and it goes, Seth Lugo and Steven Matz, and, now DeGrom gives you an A-plus performance, and you're waiting.
Yeah.
Is the next guy going to do what the previous guy did?
When's the run coming, all that kind of crap? And it's not. Sadly enough, it's just not. And like you said, they got embarrassed for the first three games of the series. Daniel Murphy has that late double yesterday, which was important. Why? Because now he has legitimately gotten on base every single time he's played against the Mets since he went to Washington. But
him or Anthony Rendon. I mean, those guys just own the Mets, man.
It was a lost weekend across the board. I mean, you're right. Listen, the Yankees losing 6 in a row.
You can make all the excuses you want. Close games, damn near every one of them. You know, bullpen failed them. Offense fails them. They're in a bad stretch right now. They do get Chapman back. Like you said, you have the Angels, the Rangers, and the White Sox before he gets, quote-unquote, real at the end of the month going into July against Houston. And it tells you how the American League East currently sits, because when you lose six in a row and you're still in first place, it tells you that no one else is making a charge.
Yeah, but the problem is that everybody's staying within five games, five and a half games. So everybody in that division now is all, like, bunched in there. Nobody's running away with it. The Yankees had a chance and unfortunately couldn't do it and keep everybody else relevant. And, you know, eventually it's going to happen. I know that. I'm making fun. Eventually it's going to happen. Eventually teams are going to go through a tailspin. You just don't want it to be elongated. You just don't want it to get to, like, 9, 10, 11 games. And that's why it's important to take the day off. I think Joe Girardi spoke to that last night. And then come back and hopefully get the thing going again, like you had against Baltimore the last time you were in Yankee Stadium, and start feeding off some of that stuff and start hitting home runs
again. And it starts with Pineda, too, so they should probably feel pretty good about that. But Tanaka's a real problem.
Yeah, that's I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I really don't. You know, one day it's a decent outing. The next day it's home run city again.
Yep.
He's allowed 21 home runs, and he's had, let me see, six starts, I believe, where he's allowed five or more earned runs in those six starts.
Well, he's been brutal all year. I mean, his ERA is over six, and he's the quote-unquote ace of your staff.
So he's got given up 21 home runs this year. He's given up. He only gave up 22 all of last year.
If you could send him down, he deserves to be sent down. Right? I mean, that's the reality of his situation, or DL him or something.
You know, Girardi just keeps saying he's not hurt, he's not hurt, he's not hurt.
Then, by the way, he better be hurt, because if he ain't hurt, he can't pitch at this level right now. It's been abusive how bad he has been.
And it's almost like he knows, like, as soon as he gives up the home run, I mean, obviously most pitchers would know because they can hear it from the crack of the bat.
Right.
And they know how fast that ball's exiting the stadium. But you could just see he is so frustrated.
Yeah, something else happened over the weekend, which I know everyone saw it. It happened yesterday. You take stock in it because it's going to be a bit of a changing of the – well, not changing of the guard. It's not the right way to say it. But the Sixers and the Celtics make a deal, which is very interesting based on them playing each other as often as they will.
Right, but do we know what the Celtics are receiving in return? That's the big question that I would want to know.
I do know.
And obviously the Sixers have fell in love with this guy, Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, so the Sixers is going to be a damn good team next year. I'll tell you right now.
Why? Because they have a rookie? I mean,
no, like, you know. How long have I been telling you about Fultz, right?
No, I mean, you told me that about at the beginning of college basketball.
Here's what it is. They swapped the number one and the number three pick, obviously, right?
Yes.
In addition to that, the Celtics also get an additional first-round pick, which will be...
By the way, the Celtics are loaded with picks, like, for the next three or four years.
Philadelphia will give up the 2018 first-round pick it owns via the Lakers. And it's a little somewhat convoluted about where the picks are.
That's actually going to be a great pick.
In theory, it should be, right?
Is it a lottery-protected pick?
If the Lakers pick doesn't fall between 2 and 5 in the draft, they will send the 2019 first-rounder instead. So either way, so basically... What Boston's going to get is the number three pick and another first-round pick in either 18 or 19, okay?
Right.
But it just shows you, when you are loaded with picks, as they are, when you are loaded with talent, as they are, and you're in love with your point guard, Isaiah Thomas, which they are, then you are able to make moves like this. Because the rhetoric was, up until this weekend, boom, hey, maybe the Celtics trade Isaiah Thomas, right? Boomer's got a problem with the coffee that just brought to him.
I said,
we're playing
you
charades.
Said call. You want to
vent? Well, that's right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
but
it.
Anyway, you, how about just a thank you?
I said thank you,
absolutely fine. I do have a venti.
Okay, good.
Venti.
I told him, you know, and he said he got it. He understood.
You wanted a bigger coffee.
We misinterpreted each other. That's all. I paid for it all.
Okay.
I bought him one.
Fair enough.
So I just tried to be solid.
Good.
We're not on the same page.
You wanted tall.
No. I wanted venti.
Venti. What is venti? The biggest one they got?
Yeah.
Got it. For your mug? You got your mug there?
Yeah.
Well, you're something special, aren't you?
What do you mean I'm something special?
I mean, you started doing trades like, where's the big one?
Yeah, exactly.
I want the big one.
I don't know what he was thinking about. What were you talking about?
In any event, Celtics and Sixers.
But here's the deal.
And it just sets the Knicks back.
Here's the only thing
notch.
I would say about this thing from the Celtics' perspective. They're locked and loaded now for probably the next 5 years with draft picks. And Danny Ainge is a smart basketball guy. The total opposite of what the Knicks are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? The total opposite.
There you have two teams that are, listen, the Celtics, number one seed this past year.
And locked and loaded, dude. But here's
Sixers
the thing.
Sixers going to be very good, too.
I think if you take stock of the Celtics right now, they cannot beat the Cavaliers. Why?
Well, I mean,
because Isaiah Thomas cannot overcome LeBron James. Now, eventually, LeBron James is going to go away. Either he's going to... You know, retire someday.
Right.
Someday
or
he'll retire.
Go somewhere else.
Or he'll go to the Western Conference. Like everybody thinks that he's going to
be. Yeah, which I don't buy, but go ahead.
All right, well, whatever. But right now, as they stand, they can't beat Cleveland with their present point guard.
I agree 100%. And he's the best player on their team, which is why a lot of people thought that he would be traded because he would have a lot of value after this year to a team that maybe wanted a veteran point guard who can score like he can.
That could still be the case. I don't know who they're going to take with the third pick. I don't know if they're going to take one of these wing players or they're going to take I guess they felt like, look, at the end of the day, the third pick is going to be a really good player.
It's going to be a really good player.
And, you know, maybe making this trade here and acquiring even more assets, which is what they've done,
yep,
is unbelievable. It's really, you know, they're almost taking like a page out of the New England Patriot book.
Right. You already have a boatload of talent, and now you have the guarantee of getting more talent over the next couple of years.
And in the NBA, the talent resides in the top five. We know that.
You got that. And then, of course, Odell Beckham Jr. actually had a camp for kids. He showed up for it. Apparently, by all accounts, he was all good. And he says that he's never felt more ready for a season, and he feels that it's his responsibility, and I'm quoting him now, to be a good role model. All right. Listen.
Well, he said the right things so many times before, so we'll see.
Hopefully it'll all work out.
Yeah, he's said this how many times now?
He is great with kids, though, I will say that. Just seeing some of the video of him, the kids adore him. Half the kids have the haircut like he does now. But he is fantastic with kids.
Yes.
He might be one of those guys that's better with kids than he is with adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the kids have, you know, undying adulations towards him.
Yeah, like Al Dukes is... Well, he's never good with anyone, but he's better with adults than he is kids. Like, he can't be, like, in my kids' company for more than about 10 minutes, so I'd be very frustrated.
Yeah, but your kids know about Al Dukes, so they learn to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Where they become the adult in the room.
That happens frequently, yes.
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 Well, as Craig's kids got older, they're much easier to handle. So now I can be in a room with Craig's kids all day long.
Well, this goes back
AI?
To Dallas.
Yes.
This goes back to Dallas when we were at the Super Bowl. And my kids thought it'd be funny to steal Al's phone and any other type of technology he had.
Well, your kids have a tendency to do that.
Yeah, and then they would try to reprogram it so that he'd be very frustrated. I can't log in. I can't log in. Give me my phone. That kind of stuff.
Right.
This was back in the BlackBerry days.
And frankly, it was quite funny because Al would be extraordinarily frustrated. And you have to imagine, you know, a couple boys, 7 and 9 years old, watching a grown man cry about his technology.
Yeah, speaking of kids, did you have a nice Father's Day?
I did, thank you. How about yourself?
I did, too. You know, I actually went out to the lunch with the kids, and they actually paid.
I was going to ask you who picked up the tab.
I was like, wow, look at
this. I was in your neck of the woods, actually. I had my niece's bat mitzvah.
Somebody's picking up the check. Of course, it wasn't Gunner.
Oh, come on, really?
And of course, it wasn't Sydney.
Matt Martin picked it up?
Yeah, Matt picked it up, yeah.
Are you son-in-law to pay?
Well, he's not my son-in-law. So stop it, all right?
Well, you have Father's Day lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Or dinner, whatever it was.
Yeah, lunch. It was a nice lunch.
Nice lunch.
Went to Bar Freets.
I was there the day before.
Oh, look at that.
See that?
Oh, shut up.
I went to Funky Monkey afterwards.
That's great.
Bought some nonsensical thing for $10.
Yeah.
So you go there.
Yeah.
Your son, who's now gainfully employed.
Yes, he is.
Your daughter, who is employed and actually is dating Matt Martin.
Yes.
And you.
And me.
And happy Father's Day.
Yes.
And the bill comes. There's a little bit of an expectation.
No,
of my adult children.
I was, exactly.
Will pick up the tab because, after all, it is Father's Day.
Yes.
And Matt had to do it, and Gunner allowed.
Well, I guess he seemed to like to do it. You know, I respect
Matt doing, but Gunner's got to step up there.
Gunner sits on his hands like this.
Gunner's got boxing gloves on.
He's like, oh, who's paying for it? I'm not. It's unbelievable. So, I actually thought I taught him better.
Now, I understand Sydney, she's dating Matt, so in theory you could say Sydney with Sydney. Matt.
You're right, okay.
But Gunner, as a man,
yeah,
sits there and watches his sister's boyfriend pay for his father's lunch.
You know, do you ever
this is unacceptable.
Do you ever pay attention to the cards that you get from the kids? Do you ever, like, really read the cards?
Uh-huh, sure.
Right, so, you know, they obviously each give me a card.
Right.
And the cards couldn't be more...
generic?
No. Opposite from each other. There's Gunner's card. It's humble. You know, Dad, thanks so much for doing everything you've done right. for me. And I'm like, oh, it's really nice.
Nice. Right? Touching.
All right. And then the front card of Sydney says, Dad, I've grown up to be a wonderful young lady and a woman of power and this and that. And right. I'm this and I'm that. And it's all somewhat partly because of you.
I'm fantastic.
Yes.
You were somewhat involved in that.
It's perfect.
Did they get you a gift?
Yes, they did.
Was the gift thoughtful?
Oh, yeah, very thoughtful.
Did the gift show, like, they get you know, where Dad is in his life and
they
what
get
you
it,
might
they
like?
Get it. Yeah, so pretty simply, Gunner got me a decanter for some whiskey.
All right.
And inside a decanter, there is a glass ship in the decanter. So it's glass, and you see the ship is inside of it.
Right.
And you put the whiskey inside, the Johnny Walker
floats?
Blue that they gave me. And it doesn't float. It just sits in there, but it's nice. It looks good. So that's very nice.
Okay.
And then he gave me a foot massager, which he knows I have bad plantar fascia.
Okay.
Shows that he's paying attention.
He's paying attention.
He's paying
right?
attention. Sydney got me a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. So there you go. That's enough.
She got you
I
what?
Don't need ties. I don't need shoes. I don't need nothing.
So Sydney got you the booze for the decanter that Gunner got you.
Yes. It seemed like they got worked in concert
so they
together.
Seemed to work. It's funny what my kids did.
And I'm not so sure Sydney really got involved. I think maybe Gunner just did the whole thing.
Or there was a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue laying around the house and someone picked up, put a ribbon on it and said,
right.
Hey, Daddy, look what I got you.
Right.
Because Gunner got you a decanter and I figured something's got to go in it.
Right.
That could have happened too. It's possible. Well, listen, I'm glad you had. Did you golf yesterday?
I did not golf yesterday, but did watch the U.S. Open yesterday.
You did, which we'll get to a little bit later on.
Which was great. It was a great. We actually watched father-son golf that got rained out. So.
And then supposedly there was a big hugabaloo here in the building on Friday.
What happened on Friday?
Apparently Brandon Tierney, who you may have heard of, you know, he does St. John's stuff, but also worked in New York prior to going out to San Francisco, then came back. And he's on the CBS Sports Radio Network, which, while you don't get it here, most of you know who Brandon is, of course.
He also does a great job on Tops on CBS.
Yeah, he does the CBS
Sports Network,
the
Sunday morning
show
yes.
over on Tops. He and Mike Francesca apparently got into it on Friday, yelling and screaming and cursing in the hallway, then in a private office, and everyone was...
I mean, you got to do it at work. You can't do it away from work.
Well, I don't think they have a relationship outside of work. So how are you going to curse someone out if you don't talk to them outside of work?
What are you screaming at?
You can only curse them out while you're at work.
What was the issue?
That's up for debate, I suppose. I told Al to book Brandon on the show. Although my gut is that Brandon's going to probably try to stay away from it. But let's see if you can get him on. I want to know what it is, too.
Maybe Mike thought Brandon was you because you're both bald.
That's possible. Possible. As the story goes, Brandon at some point at the top of his lungs said, "Who the F are you?" And Mike somehow said to him, "You're a fraud." Now, I'm not sure what happened in between those two comments, but I do know that it was.
I know you love this kind of crap.
Yes, because I'm not involved in it at all, and I just get to be an armchair quarterback.
Now you've just gotten yourself involved somehow.
Now, how am I involved? I'm just saying, I'm acknowledging it. And I'd love to get down to the bottom of it and see, like, what caused such a ruckus. Yeah, then there was an article.
Do we get human resources involved or what? What happens?
Well, and more
somebody,
here
I don't think HR is here.
Somebody in HR has got to be involved in this. You can't have two employees going, you know, toe-to-toe. Well,
but it's a summer Friday. I don't think they're here.
Nobody cares. Okay,
good. Or you just have one person in the building that was offended by the content of the language.
Maybe they're in Italy.
Maybe.
Oh, that was all the other executives.
Oh, that's all the other.
Yeah, I think they're in Spain now, I think.
All right, okay.
And then there was, you talk about the concept of, you know, can you trust what you read in the paper? Or is this concept of
fake news
alive and well? So, in the last week, CNN.com reported that Boomer Esiason said ABCD&E here in studio with Chris Christie, despite the fact you weren't here that day.
That's fake news.
And then I was reading a Phil Mushnick on a Sunday. And he wrote such a piece of garbage that it was actually troubling to me that you can write the things that were written with a clear conscience, despite the fact that there's no truth to it at all.
Well, print reporting, you know, just isn't the same.
And same with Raceman as well.
It's, now, what were they writing?
It's interesting, Boomer.
Did they take a shot at you or me?
That wasn't a shot at either one of us.
Okay.
That's the funny thing about it.
Okay.
It's amazing to me.
Who was a shot at or what were they writing?
It's amazing to me.
Yeah, I know
you
it's amazing to you. So
I'm
going to
tell you what it is if you
tell
it.
Me for...
So your boy, Bob Raceman, all right, writes a story, okay? He writes a story, and that's what his job is, I suppose, write a story.
Write a story.
He writes a story.
He wrote a story.
That the New York Yankees are concerned that with Mike leaving WFAN, that there's no one on the radio station that's really pumping the Yankees up. And the Yankees have called or have privately or anonymously or however you want to put it, have suggested that that's problematic for them going forward in their relationship with the radio station. That might be the single dumbest thing that Bob Raceman has ever written. And I can guarantee you, it does not come from the New York Yankees.
I know, because you're the guy that receives the missives every
MLB day. MLB sources say the Yankees MLB are concerned sources. With Francesa's departure because of his role as a longtime Bombers pom-pom waiver. Wrong. It's unbelievable. Like, there's no conscience at all.
Yeah, I know.
Just
write that. Write whatever you want to write and just
with
throw it out
with their partnership
there.
With FAN being worth millions in terms of rights fees, it makes sense for Yankee suits to want the new afternoon drive host to have an allegiance to them or at least have a Yankee sensibility.
Well, we got a morning guy that does that already. We need an afternoon guy that does that. And I thought he and
I talk more Yankee baseball than anybody.
Is that like somebody that was going to support A-Rod through that whole thing? Somebody like that?
I don't know. Right? So, and I would tell you this.
I mean, listen, it's hard to write once a week. You know that.
The Yankees hate Mike.
Got to come up with something once a week. And you got to put about maybe 1,000 words in there?
Which couldn't be that hard.
Is it 1,000 words? I don't even know.
I don't even know how many words it is, but you're right. You write one day a week. You have to, and you invent stuff? Like, there's enough going on in New York that you could come up with something maybe even
you
twice
mean,
a week.
Maybe there's like a deep state leak at MLB or something that, you know, somebody lower level.
Yeah, a guy, someone at MLB told him the way the Yankees are thinking about WFN's search for an afternoon host.
Yeah.
I mean, just come on, man. I mean, if you can't be better than that, then just stop doing it. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
In any event, Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on the Fan.
Fat off.
Remember when you bought your beautiful wife a treadmill after she had a baby?
Yeah. The first three kids I had, she got an elliptical.
Well,
a
there you go.
A gym
turn
membership.
About is fair play.
We're turning it around.
Right.
Yeah,
hey,
buddy.
So let me ask you a question. I was just thinking. So this whole thing about Raceman and the Yankees and all this other nonsense, right? Trying to think, what is does Raceman has another job, right?
Hey, well, he does that SNY stuff, doesn't he?
So he's on TV at SNY.
He's live or something like that.
Or whatever, right? So who does he run into over at SNY?
Well,
like anybody from
that
here?
Show?
Anybody from here? Does he run into anybody from here?
I can check who's on it. Who does Joe Beningo's on that show?
Joe does not work there anymore.
He does not do that?
You got Melusis, you got Licata, you've got. Who else
so Licata
there?
Worked there from here?
Sal Licata.
No, Sal Licata.
He still is over there?
Right, yeah, but he doesn't work here anymore.
He don't work here, though.
No.
He works on
710 works over there
now.
A little bit.
Lopresti.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's there now.
In other words, you're trying to figure out who the rat is.
Why does there have to be a rat?
Let me ask you a question. Is Melusis a Yankee fan?
He is, yes.
Mm.
I think that's well documented. Mm.
So, Boomer, I don't want to put words in
what about CeeLo?
Is he a Yankee
he
fan?
He is a Yankee fan.
Oh. Is it possible that they're feeding him information, you mean?
Yeah. There you go.
Well, he ain't talking to anybody else, I guess, because based on the article, which is complete nonsense, and I love you, and all you do is quote MLB sources, which means nothing.
But right? No kidding. It's like, it's like all the source problems that we have in other areas.
MLB sources say the Yankees want a Yankee fan in afternoon drive here at WFAN. They don't give a rat's ass who does afternoons here. They don't. You think they're on the phone with Mark going, it's really important to us that you replace Mike with a big Yankee fan? No. Trust me, a call has never been made. Jerry Recco's here. He don't make many calls.
Well, they converted you, so what do they, you know, what do they got to worry about?
Well, you can answer it. If you've got me on your team, you ain't anybody else anyway.
When you got the biggest mouth on a radio station just pumping Yankee propaganda out there left and right, I mean, what do you want?
First place Yankees.
Yeah, well, they are. We're brought to you by Dead & Company, Saturday, June 24th at Citi Field. Buy tickets at Mets.com/deadandcompany.com.
That didn't sell out yet.
They are in first place, but barely. They had a horrendous weekend in Oakland as they lost again Sunday to the A's.
Cessa Deals swung a high drive to deep center field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Though Chris Davis, who hasn't been hitting a lick in this series, hits a two-run home run just left of dead center field. It's a two-run blast, and Oakland takes a 4-2 lead.
And that is John Sterling on the Fan.
Extra virgin olive oil.
Yes. We can do this every time. Chris Davis, the two-run homer. A's beat the Yankees 4-3. Chad Pinder, the game-tying two-run double. Here is Joe Girardi. They've lost six in a row, his team.
It's not what you want, obviously.
Nope, not losing the three in Anaheim. Two in Anaheim, four in Oakland. Here's Chase Headley. What is the concern? I do believe this was the question. What's the level of concern with the losing streak?
I don't know what concern we would have other than we just got to start winning games.
And he said he can't wait to get
home.
By
chance, can you find for me the top of the third when Gardner leads off with a double to deep right?
Here's 3-1 to Gardner. Swung on and line at deep right field. Joyce back. That ball is gone. It went off the wall, off the top of the wall. Gardner pulls up at second.
What?
Excuse me.
That ball is gone, and he pulls up at second base. He don't want to go home.
I'll take the double.
He wants Judge to get another RBI.
He did come around to score. That did happen. But yeah, no,
that ball's gone. He pulls up in second.
He didn't quite see that.
No, he didn't see nothing.
There are a couple of oddities.
What is going on here?
No one knows.
This was Saturday. Boomer would have been livid if this was a Met. This was Saturday's game, Yankees A's. Chris Davis at the plate.
Davis hits a mile high pop around home plate. Roman throws the mask away, and the ball's dropped by Headley coming down. He throws to first, and he's out because the ball landed in fair territory. How do you like that? So Chris Davis didn't run.
He was damn near in the dugout.
You know what I would have done? I just would have said, hey, sit down. Sit down. You're not going to play for a while.
Right. They probably should have because he struck out his other two times.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you got to sit that guy down.
Three times. Yes.
We're not standing for that. I'm not putting up with that crap.
There's a chance he could have been on second base. That's how high that pop was.
A mile high, yes.
What a disgrace.
Yes, that happened. That was Saturday's game, I do believe. But they did come back. They did win the game. They've been great. They won the weekend. And it's not a good baseball team, the A's, but they do it. And the Yankees have lost six in a row. Joe Girardi was asked, is the team tired?
No. I mean, they're not going to be perfect all the time. You know, so, I mean, for the rest of the year, these guys are going to be somewhat tired. That's just the bottom line.
So they're not tired, but they could be tired. They're going to be tired.
Well,
whatever.
Listen,
they come home,
losing
they get
games,
the Angels.
Man. And they're losing games that they weren't losing earlier this year. These one-run games.
And they're also fighting the injury bug a little bit now.
The bullpen has not been great. They're starting to have some injuries now.
Now they have injuries.
Which is not unique to anybody.
Now they got that.
But they're first place. There you go.
Everything but the God's honest truth. They're losing games.
It would have been nice if you could lose six games and still be in first, Boom.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, if you had that going for you, you'd be pretty thrilled.
You'd be the Indians. Win four, take four straight from the team that's right behind you.
Yeah, you could be the Indians.
Overtake them.
But you're the Yankees. Who would you rather be, the Yankees or the Indians?
Astros.
The Rockies right now, actually.
I'd
rather be the Rockies right now.
How about the Astros?
Astros are a mess, actually.
Yeah, but they're still winning.
I think four of their five starting pitchers are out.
Yeah, and they're 10.5 games up, I believe.
Correct. That is true, because they started wonderfully. Now, the Mets, not so good. Although Sunday, thankfully, they did avoid the sweep.
Reyes coming in. DeGrom at bats left-handed and has batted very well this year. He's 9-for-29. Stroking this one high in the air left center. On the move, Taylor going back, turning, looking. It is gone! Jacob DeGrom does it by himself to get the Mets even with the Nationals.
And that is Josh Lewin on WOR. Mets wound up beating the Nationals 5-1. Michael Conforto had a pair of RBI singles in this game. How about TJ Rivera? He was 4-for-4 with a run scored. Here's Terry Collins. DeGrom looks like DeGrom again.
All the things that you talk about that, You know, when he started out the season and he was mowing guys down with the strikeouts, he got away from who he is, and now he's back.
Well, he found himself. He had six strikeouts, went eight innings.
He is back. You need him desperately, but he did everything. Eight innings. I mean, how many times has a Met pitcher gotten to the eighth inning this year?
Him.
Twice?
I mean, he's it. I mean, maybe someone else did, but he had the complete game. I don't know if there's anybody else that's done it. Here was DeGrom winning on Father's Day.
Yeah, it was awesome. Jackson was here and my dad was here, so it was a lot of fun. Glad I was able to go out there and pitch well on it.
Yep.
Do you have any update on Matt Harvey's dead arm?
Nothing from Friday.
Not that we have heard nothing. Is he gonna? No. Is he starting his next game, or are they giving him a
Matt
blow?
Harvey is out for a month.
Is he out for a month? They said he's out for a month.
Minimum
four.
Yeah, I think they said he's out several. Sandy Alderson said several weeks. I believe it was.
Really?
Yeah, this on
minimum,
Friday.
Minimum.
I wasn't paying attention. I didn't hear any update over the weekend. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Listen.
That right there, that Matt Harvey thing is like the crux in the entire Mets season. Like when you watch his arc of what has happened this year with him, that is the Mets season. That just kind of exemplifies everything that's gone on with him.
If you brought up Matt Harvey, so let me just ask one question, because there's one aspect to the Matt Harvey injury that has still not really been discussed. You know,
They had the stress in the shoulder.
It's broken. He broke, the way I read it, and tell me if I missed it, I don't think I did. You know, they have the stress injury to the scapular bone, right?
Right.
But I was reading some stuff over the weekend where that is viewed as a stress fracture of the bone. All right? Now, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Right?
I mean, that guy's
gone through some stuff that, listen, I had thoracic. It just happens. You could be from working out, from wherever it is, the way your body's built, all that. But now you're talking some type of stress fracture to a bone. How does that that don't just happen, in my opinion.
Here was Alderson on Thursday, I think it was. How much time will he miss? Will he contribute the rest of the season?
I think it's difficult to speculate on how much we can expect to get from him the rest of the season.
Wow.
Right.
Because he has something with that scapula thing in your body.
All I can say is that the amount of time that we expect he will be out is measured in weeks and not months.
So that's more positive than who knows how much he'll contribute.
Yeah, but he's going to be out at least a month.
I agree. No.
He's not going to pitch at all. Then he's going to have to do rehab. Then after the rehab, you're going to have to start slowly pitching again.
And by that time, the Mets will be 20 games out.
I mean, if I told you that you don't see Matt Harvey again this year, I would not be surprised.
You know, if you mentioned, how many games they'll be out. Everybody keeps saying, they can fight their way back in. No, they can't.
No.
Because they're 12 games out of the wild card against.
It's worse than the wild card.
It is worse.
In their division.
You got Arizona, LA, and Colorado all playing tremendous. I mean, one of those teams would literally have to fall on their face.
Look, you guys are being very real about it, and that is, and you hate saying it because it's, July is not even here yet, but the Mets are done.
I didn't think Arizona would be this good.
Who thought the Rockies would be as good as they are?
The one saving grace is that, you have a team like the Twins, right? The Twins were playing well.
Right.
They just got swept by the Indians this weekend. And the Twins now are going to, they lost 103 games last year. And all of a sudden, with a nice early season story, they were being competitive, blah, 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 blah. But now all of a sudden, it looks like their season is turning the other way.
Right.
I don't know if that will happen, Arizona. I don't know if that will happen.
I don't think so.
But all I can tell you is that with the example of Matt Harvey is like, that's the Mets season.
Yep.
That's it.
I would not be shocked if you don't see him again this year. We're not surprised.
Especially with how many games they're behind.
Yeah, just
so there goes Syndergaard, there goes Harvey, there goes Familia. I mean.
Right. I mean, the season is over. You can talk all you want about, trying to stay relevant. I'm sad.
They could do that.
Get no joy out of it, but it's over.
The Mets should go to a 10-man rotation next year.
Right? They should go back to what I said 2 years ago.
God.
Give me one inning and sit down. One inning and sit down. And how about your Matt Harvey? 3 years ago. Your agent's quietly chirping about $300 million contracts, right? And we're talking about the $1 billion rotation that the Mets have if everyone pans out. And now you have Syndergaard, who I do think will come back and be fine, but he's out for probably the rest of the year. Matt Harvey might be out for the rest of the year. Already had 17 different injuries, right?
Yep.
You hope that Matt's is all the way back consistently now. Obviously, time will tell. DeGrom, of course, has been good. Not great, but good. Yesterday was fantastic. And this this notion of we got $1 billion starting rotation is a joke. And then you add all the other injuries, which are, you don't even have to get into. The Walker, the Cespedes, you know, the Wright and all that crap. It's over. $1 billion rotation. It's a joke.
Yeah, well, it's injuries. It's not. Agreed. It has nothing to do with.
And a lot of these injuries are
misreading anybody or was scouting somebody. I mean, from Wheeler, who started this 2 years ago, to Harvey, even DeGrom, you know, has had a couple poor outings this year.
I think every one of them has had some type of surgery, right? Hasn't every single Met starter supposed to be, you know, Mets has, DeGrom has.
Wheeler has, Harvey
has. Yeah. I mean, every one of them's going under the knife. It's crazy. Crazy, I tell you. Crazy. We'll get your calls in 1 second. I promise that after a Father's Day weekend in which the Mets got eliminated from the postseason.
Well, not yet.
And the Yankees couldn't beat the lowly A's.
Well, they're not.
Not eliminated.
Not eliminated. No,
they're eliminated. Look good.
All right, we are live from the Investors Subway Bank studio.
It goes right out the window.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
With Joey Donuts.
Along with Nino from our Gargiulios. But I guess he just dropped off a bunch of jelly donuts as well.
Yeah, those those are ridiculous.
Let me just make sure these are.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, these are not poisoned at all.
All natural, no chemicals. He said you will not have a better jelly donut anywhere.
Oh, eat it. Eat it.
He happens to be right.
There you go.
I have to agree, they're pretty good, Jerry.
Solid.
They're huge.
And yes, Al, I put the one I took a bite of back in the box because you're not getting one. They're only for guys who show up to play softball.
By the way, I finished that chocolate chip cookie. It took me 4 days.
Yeah, someone sent us chocolate chip cookies. It took him a week to eat one cookie. In any event, he says the solution to a bad hamstring is from the Far East, and it's called white flour. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Yeah. it's an analgesic balm. But it comes from like China or Japan or something. And he went into, I think, Chinatown, and he got me white flour, which he says, have Boomer just rub it into your hamstring, and you'll be good as new.
Why don't you rub it on my foot?
Because it's not for feet. It's for hamstring.
Here.
Here what? I don't want your fat foot anywhere near me. Huh? I'm not rubbing it into your foot.
Never rubbed the guy a wrong way.
I'm not rubbing white flour analgesic balm into your foot.
Rub it out.
Put your stupid gloves on and let's do it.
I can put the gloves on. It was gotten for me, for my hamstring. We didn't buy it for you.
Come on.
Now, this other one comes in a box. Let's see what this one is real quick. The Mets need this. See, the Mets need some Far Eastern medicine. You know what I'm saying? All right, so this one.
DiPietro swears by acupuncture.
Does he?
He's like, oh, you got to get acupuncture.
I can tell he's one of those guys. Hey, let me see.
You think so?
Oh, Rick? Yeah, I think Rick's is like one of those nouveau riche type of, let me get some acupuncture. I have always said this. If it works for you, great. It works for
you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Some type of alternative medical solution. You got to be selfish about it. It's got to be the kind of thing where if it works for you, it doesn't matter what anyone else says.
Exactly.
Including a doctor. Right? Because sometimes you're desperate.
Right.
Like, you're clearly desperate, and now you've asked me to rub your foot. Right?
Yeah, now you're putting on your gloves.
I'm putting on my emergency exam gloves.
Right.
You don't have to bend over.
Right.
I have the white flour from Kevin.
Give it a shot.
All right? But you're going to have to move this out of the way. Can you put your foot over here on top of that? Oh, much better. Are you ticklish?
Yes, I am. Okay. Yes, I am.
I didn't know.
Don't.
I didn't know the Boomer was ticklish.
I did not realize that.
What now difference does it make?
That's weird that Boomer aside since ticklish.
Why is that?
Because you have your feet have been all beat up.
Yeah.
And yet they're very ticklish.
Ticklish.
Where does it hurt? On the bottom?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right in the
arch.
But
how are you going to let me
come
in with the thumb there?
Yeah. Don't be pushing like a crazy person.
But it's going to be ticklish. No.
No, it's all right as long as you don't like scratch the bottom of my foot.
Hold on a sec.
There you go.
I'm putting the white flour balm in my hand.
I hope this works.
Okay.
Ooh, it tickled.
Not that hard. Not that hard.
No, no. That's the only way to do it.
Boy. No, not that hard.
Really get it in there.
Ow.
Does that really hurt?
Well, you just nice and easy.
What happened to you?
Nothing that happened hurts. To me.
How could that hurt? I'm barely even putting any pressure on it.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can tell that really hurts. So. I'm making a fist. I'm kneading the bottom. A boomer's foot.
Ooh, it tickled.
Plantar fasciitis.
Easy. It's actually getting better. Oh, yeah.
Can you feel that?
Oh, I can feel
it. You like that?
Yeah, I do like it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How much do you like that?
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who's your bottom?
Baby.
Oh, it smells terrific, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does. Don't do that.
A little bit? Hold on. Let's just say.
No.
It's just cracked.
Ow, stop with that. Okay. What? Did you realize what you just did?
I just cracked your
almost
knuckles.
Broke my toe.
Oh, you're good. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
That's a bromosexual romance.
My work here is done.
Yeah, boy.
Who is the...
Baby.
When you...
That stuff smells.
There's a great story how...
It's like analgesic. You know that analgesic smell, Al?
Yeah, it smells like Ben Gay, kind of.
What, Jesic?
Analgesic.
Analgesic.
Not analgesic, analgesic.
Well, it comes from the Latin, it's good for the anus. The Jesic. Now, I don't know what Jesic references. Maybe Eddie would know, but we know what the anal
is. Is it like an anti-inflammatory?
White flour? I don't know what white flour is. But I know that, you know, if it's good for people in the Far East, it's got to be good for us.
It's got to be good for us, man.
Right?
It'd be like an endangered rhino horn ground up,
probably.
Yeah, it's
like a homeopathic Far Eastern Chinese.
No, okay. It's not.
All right.
But you killed an endangered rhino?
I didn't do that. You did that.
You did something. Well, what's more disappointing to you? The New York Mets season.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing, right? Yes.
The New York Mets season.
The fact that my daughter didn't reach in her pocketbook and pay for lunch.
That.
Yeah.
Or the prospects going forward for the Jets and the Knicks.
Well, the Knicks have to be the most. I mean, they've been so bad for so long and so dysfunctional.
Right. But here's the difference. I was thinking about this yesterday. On March 15th. You and every other Met fan truly believed, and rightfully so.
Yeah, but we didn't think that they were going to get injured like this.
Which is why I'm asking. The disappointment of the year, this was supposed to be the Met World Series, you know, coronation. Every Met fan said the same thing. Every Met fan felt the same way. This is our year. And they did, by the way, the Mets felt that way too, right? Bowing out their chest, feeling good. We got the pitching staff. We don't even need to add anyone new to the team. That's how good we're going to be. And then what? Everything goes to hell in a handbasket because of the injuries. So if you go from the expectations and the letdown based on those expectations versus what we know is going to happen this year with the Jets and the Knicks, which is worse? I think the Mets.
Well, I would
because we thought they'd be great.
Because they have expectations. I would tell you, yesterday for 3 hours, it was nice to see Jacob deGrom do what he did. Nice to see him hit a home run, Conforto breaking out of a slump, and then just winning a quality baseball game.
Right.
That was a quality win for them, especially after giving up 22 runs in the previous three games.
But it was almost like a who cares kind of win, you know?
I mean, it's like they can't hit Scherzer, they can't hit Strasburg, it seemed like. You know, it's just like, and you see a team in the Nationals that's relatively healthy that basically, guess what?
They just know how to win.
They are the team. Right now, they look like the other team. That could change, obviously.
And then when it comes to the Knicks, your boy Wally Szczerbiak was asked to handicap, the kid that it looks like will be available. Maybe not, but as of right now, it looks like he'll be available. You've heard a little bit about this kid, right?
Yeah.
But now they've the full-fledged PR machine is in a high alert.
Okay.
And that is... Wally Szczerbiak, who, of course,
boring.
Comes in. He's not boring. Okay, he's a little boring, but he's the Knick guy, right?
He's the Knick guy, yeah.
And what they're trying to do now is put out stories in which people say great things about Frank, Nitalkina, okay? That's a tough one to pronounce.
It's like Nitalinka.
And Wally Szczerbiak, the Knicks got to grab Nitalkina.
Is it Kenya or Alinka?
Huh?
Is it Kino Linka?
Nidalinka?
Nidalinka, maybe?
Nidalekina. How do you pronounce it? Nidalekina, isn't it?
Something like that.
Nidalekina. So the Knicks pick eighth. So they're not going to get any of the stud American players, obviously, right? So you have Nidalekina from France, who's a kid, legitimately a kid.
Didn't we draft Frederick Weiss from
France? Wally Szczerbiak came out and said he could be like the Greek freak. Now, what are we doing?
I don't know. He's getting us all excited. He would know better than we would.
What are we doing?
Hey, Al, get Wally on the phone.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Oh, hi there. It's Al Dukes from the Boomer and Carton Show. How are you?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
If he's not at some bougie country club playing golf.
Probably. Like, they're picking eighth. They're going to get whoever is last and gets them is who they're taking. But no Knicks fan should be excited about getting Nidalekina yet, right?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, no one knows anything about him. And you're asking us to buy into the fact that we're going to get another European player who none of us have seen play against any type of competition. We've seen a couple of highlights, but heck, you can make a highlight reel of Al playing softball. It doesn't mean he's any good.
We're good at what we do.
Right.
And yeah, they're good at what they do.
And that's the problem.
Now the question I would have, can he run the triangle?
He's going to have no choice, right?
What do you mean? I mean, what is he running over there in France?
I do not think he's running the triangle.
Is he playing like French basketball?
I do not think he's running the triangle, I can tell you that.
So, but he's going to be the Greek freak.
Well, that they're saying now, that's the upside. He could be, and I'm saying to myself, come on, guys, let's all stop. You know, the Knicks screwed the pooch. They're in eighth. And they're not getting Markel Fultz or anybody like him, right? We're going to get a kid that's not going to be ready to play NBA basketball year one. We're going to be told it's a project. We're going to be told, hey, don't worry. Give him a couple years and he'll develop into a great NBA player. And we're going to sit back as Knicks fans and we're going to go, why do we put up with this crap?
Isn't that what we're doing with Porzingis right now? Aren't we like in the middle of that?
But why do we put up with this crap?
I thought that's what you do, though. That's, you got to wait.
It seems like the Knicks' answer to their basketball woes are to create a European basketball team. Does it seem that way? With Willie Gomez, Porzingis.
May not be a bad idea.
Go out and draft this kid from Europe.
It's kind of like what San Antonio did.
Yeah, listen, I don't like it one little bit.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
This Thursday, I'll be going to the Yankee game. The Judges Chambers action. Get a sense of what it's all about.
Think they'll be out of their funk by then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they'll be out of their funk tomorrow night.
You know, Angels, that. Rangers, White Sox, and then it gets real. You want to come to the game, Jeff?
No.
You do not?
I do not.
Would not like to be at the Judges Chambers.
No, I would. I will not be around Thursday night.
Are you going somewhere?
I am, yes.
Nice. You've been very coy about it, but all
right. I'm not being coy. I've told you.
I vaguely remember. Did we have a conversation about it?
Yes, we have.
It was something important, I think.
I don't know if it was important, but no, going to Punta Cana Thursday after the show.
Going away. So that means you're taking Friday off.
I am, yes.
Huh. I don't remember seeing
discussed as well, and you said, by all means, have a blast.
Yeah, have a blast. Go to Punta Cana without us and have a great time.
Yes. Now, who's doing updates for you? Chris Christie that day?
Chris Lopresti.
Oh, Lopresti.
Yes.
Wrong guy.
The mole.
Chris Christie.
He might
be the mole.
The mole.
We're going to find out, aren't we?
Either him or Melusis. Maybe Melusis was just saying that because he just wanted, you know, he's a Yankee fan. You never
Maybe
know.
Melusis and Lopresti are putting together a show to take over afternoons.
Why not?
Right?
Go for it. That's what I say. You know, reach for the stars and follow your dreams, kids.
Is that what you say?
Yes.
And that's not really met well because your kids reach for the stars and follow their dreams and couldn't even buy their own father lunch on Father's Day.
A little embarrassing.
And they both got money in their pockets. Especially Gunner. It really disappoints me about Gunner. I'll tell you why. Forget about just the fact he's an adult now and you're his father.
Yes.
It's even worse that he sat there while his sister's boyfriend,
yes,
who I know he's good friends with as well, I get that, but the assizing children sat there when the check came at Bart Freet's in Wheatley Plaza, and they watched a non-relative take money out of his pocket
but I think
to buy someone who's not his father a Father's Day lunch.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Yeah, there you go. You see, the whole thing is that, you know, they're all in their 20s, so they're all awkward in their own right. They're
I'm
not really
sorry.
Sure about what to do and how to do it. And then Maddie ripped out a couple hundies.
Right?
Done.
Yeah, but it's that can't be
done.
Tolerated.
Like, you know, Gunnar just sat there like, oh, I would have ordered.
Keep your feet on the ground.
Yes.
And,
you know, climb the food charts, if you will.
Yeah.
Climbing the food charts.
Climbing the food charts.
Yeah.
I think what Matt did was very gracious, but it ain't his job to buy you Father's Day lunch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not even your son-in-law yet. He may never be. I don't know the story there. But I know this. You have children.
I know this. He was protected by the Maple Leafs, so he's not going anywhere. So he's not going to the Golden Knights.
He's not.
No, because all the teams this weekend basically released all the guys.
Casey Cizikas was not protected, I do not believe.
Yeah, he's going to be protected because they made a trade with Vegas not to touch any of their forwards. So Casey's going to stay. Cal's going to stay. None of those guys are going. Now, Calvin DeHaan might end up getting picked
up. Well, it tells you that the Maple Leafs like what Matt Martin brought to the table in year one.
And they did.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and he loves it there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, as the, you know, listen, we all look out for our kids. You know, your daughter can't date a deadbeat.
Well, here's the deal. He went from a team who's having trouble selling out a building that nobody wants to go to.
Right.
That unfortunately, you know, is trying to become a legitimate NHL team off the ice and try to become, you know, something special. That's what the new owners are going to try to do for it.
Right.
They don't have a legitimate place to play. And you go to a team that basically sells out every
night.
They're
like the Yankees.
And they are the Yankees. They literally are, you know, a team that has like 10 million fans. Now, along with that comes scrutiny.
Sure.
But that's the kind of scrutiny you want.
I would think so. Jerry Recker's got an update. He'll get scrutinized big time. Let's see how he does.
All right, brought to you by Amtrust Title, led by industry veteran Steve Napolitano. Amtrust Title, you're on solid ground. Yankees, A's yesterday in Oakland, and the A's on the comeback trail on Sunday.
It'll be a 1-2 to Pinder. Runners lead second and third with one out. The pitch is swung on and lined to right field. There's a base hit. It's in the gap. The game will be tied. Both runs score. Pinder to second with a double.
It's not tied for long, however.
High drive to deep center field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Though Chris Davis, who hasn't been hitting a lick in this series, hits a two-run home run.
John Sterling on the fan. Yeah, the double by Pinder, the home run by Davis, 4-3. The final. A's complete the sweep of the Yankees, sending New York to their sixth consecutive loss. Here was Chase Headley. Strange, strange trip.
It felt longer than it was. You know, a lot of long games, a lot of extra inning games, a lot of close games, a lot of late night arrivals.
A lot of late night games, no doubt, as well, and extra innings. Here is Joe Girardi, worried at all that the starters aren't going too deep. Luis Cessi yesterday lasting just four innings.
Oh, I we'll get it turned around. I'm not too worried about that either.
By the way, you shouldn't be, because it wasn't like they got blown out, you know? A couple of just things didn't go their way.
They're not great teams, and you expect them to win.
No, you do. But, you know, I remember when they went into the Orioles and Red Sox series, everyone said,
"You're absolutely right.
This is going to be a terrible day for the Yankees." And they scored 55 runs in five games.
No, people were wondering how they would fare.
Well, they can handle the Red Sox and Orioles. They just can't handle the Angels and the A's.
Right, but my point is, you win games, people think you're going to lose. You lose games, people think you're going to win.
Could you have ever contemplated that?
No, I could not have contemplated a six-game losing streak, given who they were playing.
Agreed.
No, I would have never thought that would have ever happened.
Neither would have I.
That's
and I'm
all.
Sure everyone that was gambling on the Yankees got burnt.
Probably so. And then you got guys that are giddy. Matt Chapman played for the A's. He got his first big league RBI.
They may never win again.
On Saturday. And then yesterday, how'd it feel to beat the Yankees?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your bottom?
See, they're giddy in Oakland.
They're giddy.
What's that all about?
I don't know, man. It's a young kid who is pretty fired up. Yankees and Angels tomorrow at the stadium. Now Craig can pounce on the Mets. They did win, though, yesterday.
You know, it's like, you ever watch one of those, you know, the like it, and then the Serengeti, the lion who's hungry without much water during the drought of 1994, spots a lone yak, and like, but the lion has so depleted of energy. It's going to be a 13-hour battle. Now, the axe got no chance, right? So the axe now, like, laying there, and he's, like, you know, pulling himself as his hoofs are falling off and whatnot. And the lion is slowly but surely eating the yak while it's alive, right?
Right.
And it comes to a point where, like, 6 or 7 minutes in, you're like, yeah, I get it. I don't want to watch it no more. It's not exciting to me anymore. right? Yep. This damn near lifeless yak is being eaten alive, and the lion doesn't have the energy to really just pounce and put an end to it. That's right. The Mets. It's like, I get it. I watched it. I know what it's all about. You're dying a slow, terrible death, and I'm done watching it.
But they did show some fight yesterday.
I'll fight my
and
ass.
And I did watch. Listen,
it's a silly
I know Matt's lost Friday night. Matt's pitched well Friday night.
Doesn't matter. They suck.
And Saturday you had Cespedes looking like Cespedes. There were some good things you can take from the weekend. Unfortunately,
really?
They lost three.
Here's
yes, I just gave
weekend.
You two of them.
The Mets are
yes.
so in over their I heads against the good that- teams. It's a joke.
Well, hold on.
And the Yankees, Yankees are so good over their heads against bad teams. It's a joke.
Yankees are first place, Ace. This anti-Yankee thing is going to have to, at some point, is going to There's stop.
Well, guess who's not getting the afternoon gig?
Who? You.
Me.
It's going to come to an end. It's fascinating to me.
But Boomer made a great point, though. No, you look at the division.
Thank you very much.
You know, the Rays are playing great baseball.
They had, a chance to separate themselves, and they didn't do it.
Correct.
They didn't. And you got the Red Sox beat the Astros 2 out of 3 this
That's
weekend.
That's right.
They're right there.
Fantastic.
The Orioles are terrible.
And
the Blue
Yankees
Jays are right around 500
have
again.
Lost 6 straight games, Correct. And yet they're still in first place.
Yet they are. And you got the Red Sox, I think, are playing the Royals, I think, starting tonight. So the Yankees could be in second place by first pitch tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Could be.
Sure could be.
Could not be.
But, you know, they're 9 games over 500.
They are, yes.
They played 67 games.
15 games over 500 just like
That's
6
right.
days ago.
So let's say this. In what, 14, 2.5 weeks, they will have played half of their games of the year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take a look at where they are halfway through the season.
Yes.
Because here's what we're not going to do. We're not doing this.
Well,
every
I think
day.
We've you done this well.
We're not, going from.
Well, you do this every day about the Mets. Right. Every day it's out. The Mets suck. This sucks.
But the
that
Mets
sucks.
Truly
I mean,
suck.
They don't suck.
The Yankees
they've
are in first place, and you guys, for some reason,
why
that drives
though?
You guys bonkers.
Can I ask you something? A serious
like
question.
Somebody's angling for the afternoon job.
Why
I got
is
a
it?
Job.
Why is it that when the Mets are hurt, they just suck? But now that the Yankees are hurt and losing games,
yeah,
they'll be fine.
Because they will be fine.
Yankee
you
bitch.
Know that?
Yankee
because
bitch.
I've seen the Yankees play all year.
Yankee bitch.
Yankee bitch.
Yankee bitch.
Okay, when you listen, let me walk you guys through this right now.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong.
You
but
guys, all you know, what you guys are doing.
Things out.
You guys are doing something that's very hard to do.
What's that?
You're making me, number one, seem like the smartest guy in town. Number two, you're making me a victim.
A victim?
Yes.
Trust me, nobody thinks
show.
You're a victim.
And number three, what you're doing is you're ingratiating the audience to my side and away from your side.
I doubt that.
So please continue with your Yankee bashing.
Do you think he
Yankee
said
bitch.
Anything accurate there?
No, not one thing.
Not even close.
So don't even listen to him.
I walk the streets of New York, and you know what I hear these days? Man, what's they doing with the Yankees, Carton? Well, how could they hate the Yankees so much? I feel for you, kid.
You know what? We don't hate the Yankees. We don't hate the Yankees.
I don't hate the Yankees at all.
Here's the deal, Jerry. The moment that he said Mets fans for Yankees about 5 years ago was the moment that I turned him off.
Fair enough.
Click.
Is that right? That's fine. Ask your general manager why he doesn't make any improvements to his team.
Click. Yeah, because half the team is hurt.
Oh,
brought up Matt Reynolds.
We got
TJ Rivera.
They showed one graphic. I think it was Saturday's game. They showed one graph like who's left on the Mets bench.
Yeah.
What is this?
No, what Matt, like, what's mean, your general manager doing? Is he awake?
He's awake, yes.
Are you sure he's awake?
Come on.
He's okay?
These are, what do you want him to do? Make a trade for Aaron Judge, you idiot? There's not much
not
you can
offense.
Do.
Not the offense.
There's not much you can
Perhaps
do.
Perhaps he went into the season unprepared because he bought into the same hype that every other player.
Unprepared.
And talks
unprepared
like yourself.
So he can lose 5 pitchers
in actuality,
at one point in time this season.
They will play well the rest of the way,
no,
but they're so far, they've dug themselves such a big hole.
Why don't we take a look
matter.
Exactly where they are, Jerry? It's a very good question.
They're 10.5 games out in the division, 12 out in the wild
card.
Well,
let's just take a look. Let's make sure we have it right.
10.5 and 12.
They're 10.5 games out for the division.
Right. A division which I called, by the way, the first week of May.
Oh, well, you're the
oh
best.
By the way.
Gift.
Yes,
you're
thank
best,
you.
Jerry.
It's
you
nice, to, boy, it's nice to hear
you
that once in a while.
Something?
Would you please?
Pat
I mean, he tickled
back.
Your feet. Would you pat me on the back, please? Thank you. That's
look
very
look
nice.
Look
that
you.
Feels good.
Look
yeah,
at you.
That's good.
I call the division.
I call the division.
You should trim your back. I could feel the hair through your shirt.
Oh, shut up.
And they're 12.5 games out of the wild card.
Right.
Guess what we call that?
finished. Over. I agree. The hole's too big. I'm with you.
They should stop playing is what they should do.
No, they shouldn't.
You're not going to stop
playing. By the way, and they still won't call Rosario up.
And, you know, they had,
no,
they
they're not.
40,000.
Right. Stupid.
And they still had 40,000 people at the game yesterday.
They did.
Father's Day against the Nationals. They should have 40,000.
They had a good crowd all weekend against
the
Nationals.
Those tickets were bought back in March when Met fans thought they were going to be really good. They figured, what a great Father's Day gift.
In fairness,
what a great, what
bitch and complain when they don't show up and then bitch and complain when they do show up.
What a great gift from a dad.
It's amazing. It's amazing how you do this. It doesn't matter what happens. You could find negativity in any aspect of
any
of it.
That's why people were there.
And quite frankly, you're pissing me off.
Yankee bitch.
And I don't need that on a Monday morning
right now. Yankee bitch.
Why do they think people are there?
I'm going to slap you around.
By the way, I went on StubHub to buy tickets yesterday.
Yeah.
You couldn't. Not for the price. The prices were ridiculous.
Those tickets were bought back in March when people thought it'd be a great Father's Day
and
afternoon.
And people wanted to go yesterday. It was a great day.
Well, listen, the only reason people went is that you can't sit home the whole day with your family.
Now, that said, little concerned about this week.
You know, you got the Dodgers starting tonight, right?
Yes. And the Dodgers are one of the best teams at home in baseball.
Yeah, but I'm sure they have an average pitcher pitching for them tonight.
Their own Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger.
And what's going on? Clayton Kershaw pitches tonight.
He does.
Yeah. He wasn't supposed to pitch in this series.
Of course, I think you said that before they played him in the playoffs, too. How'd that go a couple years ago?
Oh, you want to go back into history? Is that
we do. Is it not what we do?
I'm just asking.
Because I'm sure that day when you were trying to bash them and end their season, you were probably like, that's Clayton Kershaw.
I think I gave the Mets a chance to win that series.
I'm not sure that you did or you didn't.
But if you want to go back in time, I'm happy to go back in time if you want.
Go back in time.
I mean, pick a year.
Clearly, you have something set up.
There's nothing set up.
So let's go back in time.
No, but it's funny you mention that. So Chernoff came to me today. Crying, I have a great idea. We're going to do this little vignette. We're going back in time.
Nice.
And we're going to play little snippets of your show once an hour.
Nice.
So I go all day long. Now, just during your show.
Oh.
I go, you have to play these during other day parts.
I am the tiny tot of the kilowatt.
Because if you want to promote, we're going to go back in time and over the 10 years of Boomer and Carton, you should play those vignettes during other day parts, right, Boom?
You would like to think so, yes.
That would be called promoting one show.
Yeah.
Eddie, you have any of those in there or no? Have they put them in yet or not?
No, sir.
I just got an update from management that each show's vignettes will run in each show. In other words, the Joe and Evan vignettes will run in Joe and Evan.
Yeah, we get it.
But and then your vignettes will run in your...
That's stupid.
How about that?
I'm a loser.
Why not just put them in there, spin the wheel, and have who's ever show up wherever?
So the wheel of vignettes, in other words.
Correct. So in other words, at 2 o'clock, maybe you're an Evan and Joe or a Boomer and Carton. At 8 in the morning, maybe you hear someone else's show.
Let's see where it lands.
So stupid.
Hold on.
Clam up!
There you go. Like what happens is that you create this inclusive type of scenario.
You know, if you really think about it, we actually do run a lot of those back in time vignettes. Well, not vignettes, but just cuts here.
We do.
A million of them.
All day.
Right now.
Every day.
Oh, my God.
I'll piss. Snowblower.
You see what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about.
There's the wheel. I don't know why Mark doesn't get that. If you're promoting the 30th anniversary
sex
of the
me
radio
again.
Station,
see that? That's all we do is promote the other shows around here.
I don't know why we don't do that. We do a bad job.
Do you ever notice that?
I have noticed that, yes.
I mean, we literally probably do at least 25 to 30 promos a morning for the other shows.
You and I do it, all day, every day.
And nobody's telling us to do it. We just try to be good guys and support the rest of the station.
I mean, it doesn't happen the other way.
And we even promote Tony Page.
Yes, we do. Whenever we can.
Whenever we can, we try to help out wherever we can.
Hell, I went on the Melusa show for a half hour.
You did.
Trying to help out.
You ruined the poor guy.
No, I didn't.
You ruined him so much that he went and told Raceman what, you know, that the Yankee situation in the afternoon here.
Nothing that wouldn't leave. You may never have guests again.
Yes. You think Melusa is the source of Raceman?
Could be.
Well, I hope not. I just said he wasn't getting the afternoon job, but.
You were bluntly honest with him.
Well, someone has to be,
bad.
Right?
It was bad. I mean, it
wasn't
got no
bad. It was honest.
Nah, you know, you want to pump a guy up.
I told him I think I really like him on TV a lot.
You popped his balloon.
I did?
Yes. You did. You really did.
And took over his show for 40 minutes.
I wouldn't let him leave.
Blew off the top of the hour update.
What do you mean I popped his balloon?
Well, yeah, if he thought he was in the running for something, and why wouldn't he? You basically told him, no chance, kid.
Yeah, but you're not making the chance. You're not making the decision.
I got nothing to do with who gets the job. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's just say you didn't make him feel good about himself.
My wife might have my testicles in a jar.
Did he complain to you about it?
See, that's promotion. No, you see that right there?
Just listen to it.
I popped a kid's balloon?
I pooped.
I mean, not going to feel bad about it.
I personally think that's awesome.
I don't know about that.
It was just my opinion is all I gave him.
Which he didn't ask for.
Yeah, but you know, why can't we just be honest with each other?
You were delirious and you were just, you know.
Have you not? Life is not about honesty.
Oh. I said to him, I think you're much better on TV. And I like you on TV a lot. And he goes, you think I suck on radio? I go, I didn't say that. I just like you better on TV. And you're not getting the afternoon show.
Right. Why couldn't you just leave it there?
Well, that's just why. I mean, I'd rather him not get his hopes up.
Well, why not?
And I'm talking out of my ass. No one consults me about it, nor should they.
So then why would you say that?
Because it came up in conversation.
Right. But
he brought it up in conversation.
I'm not going to lie to him.
Not lose him.
You didn't lie to him, but you also didn't do anything to help his confidence in the
matter. Well, it's not my job to help his confidence.
But it's also not your job to just give an opinion as fact.
It might have been a great conversation to have in private off the air also.
I did that too. It's exactly my job is to give my opinion.
But not at 3:30 in the morning on his show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it actually made that show interesting.
Yeah.
Right. I changed the whole dynamic. Insult.
Wow, that is an indictment. Most, let me just pull your pants down right here.
I feel bad for those guys that do the overnight. It's not an easy job, man.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Thoroughly disagree with that.
I've done it. It's not easy.
Come on, man.
Why is it not easy?
What do you mean? The audience isn't as big.
You're the first after every major sports happening.
You are
Boom is a jerk.
In New York City.
You are physically exhausted most days.
No, don't talk from where you don't understand. I do know and understand. I've done it. Why are you physically exhausted working overnights?
Because in a lot of cases, you don't sleep well, if at all.
Well, that's...
You just don't.
Why? I mean, I think you'd be more physically exhausted having to wake up at 3 in the morning than go to bed at 3 in the morning, no?
It could be. Depends on who you are.
Let's not make excuses for people.
I'm not, but you just said it's a tough shift. I agree, and you said it's not. You're wrong.
Boom is a jerk.
Well, Boomer is a jerk. I agree.
That's nice.
Wow.
What's so tough about it? I don't get that.
Are you stupid?
Yeah, are you stupid?
No. I mean, if it's that tough, don't do it.
Who is complaining about it? You just disagreed with him, so I'm going to back Boomer on this one. It's not easy working in the middle of the night. It's not.
Well, it is what you want to make it. That's
I agree.
I tell you all the time.
And with the people we have here, I think make very good with it.
And if you cared about it, you'd put the time and effort into preparing a great show every night.
And I hope they do.
If you don't, you shouldn't do it.
Jerry and I have 12 minutes of that shift. We know what it's like.
It is brutal, man.
Then don't do it.
That's 12 minutes. It's tough.
But you hear what I'm dealing with here?
I see it, but you create these problems around here.
To me, it's not a problem. If it's that laborious and hard, don't do it.
I mean, I did it for 7 years, so I think I'm good.
You know what it is.
I do know what it is.
Was it like so taxing on you that,
the last couple years, yes.
I don't get that.
I contemplated going back to stocking shelves at Pathmark. I was so physically tired.
Physically tired from sitting on your ass and talking?
I couldn't sleep. After 5 years, the sleep was gone. I would go to bed at 7 a.m. I'd be up at 8:15 in the morning.
I don't know what to tell you about that.
Well, it's over. So
Boomerang Carton on the fan. I want to just say something to the audience. Jerry is wrong. Boomer's wrong. And if anyone that does this for a living and is blessed to have a job here, working at any time of day, any day of the week, sitting on our asses, talking about sports, while you wonderful people are on your way to work, they should be fired immediately from those positions because they don't deserve to sit on their ass and talk about sports while you guys go to work.
None of us are working for a living.
Not what we said.
That's not what we said. You know
God
what?
God darn it.
You talk about fake news. That's all
My
he is fake
God.
News. Take something that we said, twist it around,
trying to help
make it sound like something else.
Come on, man. Exhausting to work overnights.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what. If you are so lucky, you should turn and show up on time for your job. Especially when you have a guest host. Hey, we're live from the Investors Bank Studios here at WFAN.
I think you want to go there now. I don't think we're going in that direction.
I'll go that way.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
It sounds like brutal. A mess.
Total mess. Just like Wally Szczerbiak. Wally, good morning. How you been, buddy?
Very good. Thanks. How you doing, guys?
Wally's not a total mess. Why couldn't say Wally's a total mess?
Wally, what's the story? Now you're in love with this European kid all of a sudden? What's up with him?
Well, here's the thing. I like him. He's got a lot of good tools. He's got a lot of good talents. And I got to say, I can't get his name quite right yet. Some refer to him as Frank.
Fair enough.
Until we get the exact pronunciation correct and we hear how it's supposed to be said. I've heard it said many different ways. And normally I'm good with those pronunciations. But we'll just start with Frank. Listen, he's going to be a great complimentary player. He really is. He's an elite defender. He's long. He's athletic. I think he's a very smart player. I think he would fit in very well in the triangle. He's battle-tested. He's young. He's playing in big games overseas. He's having to play big possessions and make big plays. And he's got a lot of skills and a lot of tools and a lot of talent. And, you know, you look at a guy like Antetokounmpo, you know, he went 15 in the draft, and look at what he's become. You know, he was, you know, thought of as the Greek freak, had a lot of athletic talent, a lot of what people thought was upside. He wasn't a great jump shooter when he got into the league. He's improved that. Frank's the same way, where his question marks are his jump shooting. He's got a lot of all the other bases covered. So this is a guy that I know the Knicks have been doing a lot of their due diligence on. They've been watching him quite a bit. And, you know, he has the potential, teamed up with Porzingis and Hernan Gomez, to bring a little international flair to the Knicks and bring some proven winners, bring a proven winner over here.
I don't buy any of it.
Well, let me ask you this question. When are they getting rid of Carmelo, and where is he going?
Well, I got to give you credit, Booms. You've been pretty spot on with Carmelo. You know, I remember Carmelo Anthony back in the day when I played against him when he was in a Nugget uniform, and he was an elite athlete and elite defender that could just dominate a game, you know, with his ability to score. And, you know, this year, a funny little gentleman's bet Alan Hahn and I had was I thought Carmelo Anthony would get over 20 dunks. Alan Hahn said no way at the beginning of the year. Do you know how many dunks he ended up with at the end of the year? 12. He only had 12 dunks. So what that says to me is that he's not the same athletically. He's still a great jump shooter. He's still a great one-on-one player, has a great pull-up game. And actually, I think his three-point shooting has gotten better as he's gotten older in his career, but he's just lost a step physically and athletically. And in the NBA now, the game is changing. I mean, we saw the finals, the way those two teams were running up and down the floor, how young those guys are, how athletic those guys are. And the fact that Carmelo Anthony, I remember him getting 5 dunks in a game back in his prime. In his athletic prime, and now he only had 12 dunks for the season. That's just a sign of how his body has lost a step physically.
Well, there's no question about that, and also just the whole, you know, the whole lack of leadership and all that other stuff, highest paid player and all that. But I was just wondering, you know, when Phil Jackson came out and said what he said in regards to Carmelo Anthony, and, you know, and waiving the no trade clause and all that other stuff. I mean, as a former NBA player, were you taken aback by what Phil was saying, given the fact that it was real and it's exactly what should be said?
Phil doesn't pull punches. He doesn't mess around. I remember we played against Phil in the playoffs 2-3 years in a row when I was with the Timberwolves, and he took some shots at me at the media, and I was like, really? Really? I mean, here I was coming off a great regular season, second leading scorer for the Timberwolves, and he just went right at me. And that's what he does. You know, he plays mind games. He's not afraid to speak the truth. He's seen enough on the floor where, you know, he's been there for 3 years. Carmelo Anthony's been there for 3 years, and Carmelo still puts up points. He still gets to the All-Star game, but the league has gotten good. You know, other teams have really gotten improved, especially in the East. And, you know, the Knicks, the fact that they weren't able to win with Carmelo Anthony on this roster, I think Phil is figuring out, you know, we need to go in maybe in a different direction. We need to start the rebuilding process. It's unfortunate that they didn't start the rebuilding process 3 years ago, because they thought with Carmelo Anthony in a Knick uniform, they would be able to make the playoffs. They would be able to compete and win games. And it hasn't happened. So the past 3 years have kind of set them back a little bit. But I think it's time to, you know, kind of rebuild and go young and kind of reinvigorate the garden with some youth and athleticism and young talent, because that's where the game's going right now.
Talking to Wally Szczerbiak, listen, we all agree with all that. The problem is that the guy that's making the ultimate decisions has not shown a propensity to make the right ones time and time and time again. And, you know, you have to, unless they waive Carmelo Anthony, the notion that they'll do whatever they want, they can't because they gave him the no trade clause. But I want to go back because I'm bothered by what you said about the Frank. Because I don't know what it's, and I respect how you know more basketball than we do for sure, but I'm trying to figure out what it's based on. Like, he's an 18-year-old kid, so I don't know how battle-tested he could possibly be. Everyone that's seen him play in person has said that physically he's going to have a tough time defending in the NBA. No one questions his athletic ability, his speed, the fact that he's a pass-first type of point guard. But, I mean, he's playing, he's a kid. He's an 18-year-old kid playing in Europe. That's not NBA-ready.
Yeah, well, look at what Porzingis came in and did. And he was that same skinny 18-year-old kid playing
in Europe. But Porzingis is 7 feet.
Putting up 7 points a game. So, you know, you just I agree with you. It's tough to project what's going to happen with guys like that. But I trust a lot of the European kids coming over. I really do. It's not like it used to be where culturally when they come over, they didn't really fit in. You know, the rap music was a little bit kind of intimidating back in, you know, the mid-90s and stuff like that, where culturally it wasn't, they weren't comfortable. Now kids come over and they're comfortable. They really are. And they're comfortable with their surroundings. They're comfortable with their teammates. I think NBA players have embraced international talent because you see guys like Ginobili, you see guys like Tony Parker, Stojakovic, you name it. I mean, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, you know, is going to be a Hall of Famer. These guys have made a big-time niche in this league, and all these kids overseas, they know the NBA is the best. If you want to play with the best, you go to the NBA, and you play with the best, and you showcase your talents there. And, you know, this is a kid who's playing in meaningful games against pros, and they're pretty good.
There's another part of it. These kids are not a part of any AAU teams.
Exactly.
Which is like the best part of all of this stuff, because they don't come in with a chip on their shoulder thinking they're the greatest players.
Exactly.
You know, because some guy at the age of 13 was telling him how great he was, and that's all he knows for the next 5 or 6 years. Hey, what about Porzingis and him blowing off his exit meetings and all this nonsense and everything he's talking about? Where is his head at? What are you hearing about him?
Well, I hope he's just in the gym, like his Instagram is showing, and working out, because that's what he needs to do. You know, he was Mr. Style this year on the bench with the colored shoes and you know, all the you know, tight pants and tight clothes and skinny jeans and stuff like that, which is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I want you, if I'm a Knick fan, I want him focusing on basketball in the off season, because, you know, he can put up numbers. He can really score. There was obviously some, you know, stuff going on behind the scenes with the Knicks that, you know, he wasn't happy about.
Yeah, but what stuff is that? What stuff are we talking about? We talk about Hornacek. We talking about non-defense. We talking about Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson. Are we talking about, what are we talking about?
Well,
stuff.
I don't know. I think the main thing was probably whether to play the triangle or not to play the triangle, and I think that was probably the issue. And it's obvious that either you're playing the triangle or you're going to be out of town. So the players got to deal with that. And there's nothing wrong with the triangle. It's a glorified motion offense that's won championships. So if you can play, you can play in any offense. And the triangle should suit guys that, you know, are fundamentally solid, you know, can make each other better, can pass, can cut, can move, and can knock down shots. And
yeah, the problem, you know, though, is that you have
to do that. I've had enough of complaining about the triangle, because, you know, I looked at myself as a pretty good offensive player. I could have played in any offense. We could have not run one play, and I would have figured out a way to get 20 points a game. So it doesn't matter what offense you're running. Go out there and play it. Go out there and do it. Go out there and play hard and figure out a way to win games.
I think it's probably confusing for
something that Porzingis, you know, he's got a ton of talent. And is he going to be that Hall of Fame level talent, or is he going to be, you know, the second option on the
team? Well, it's got to be confusing for a guy like Porzingis and anyone else that plays for this franchise, where you have the coach telling you one thing, and the coach walks off the floor, the president of the team comes into the gym and pulls guys aside and starts running his own practice. That makes no sense at all.
Hey, listen, I played for Kevin McHale,
okay? Right.
And he was the general manager, vice president. And there were times where he was in practice working with the big men and dictating the way we played some. At times, there's nothing wrong with another voice coming
down.
But
he did it in conjunction with the head coach, not behind the head coach's back.
Well, I mean, trust me, Kevin McHale didn't always have the same outlook as Flip Saunders. He didn't want to, you know, run a playbook that was 300 pages long like Flip Saunders did and call every single play. You know, he had a few different philosophies, and he wasn't afraid to voice those. That happens. There's nothing wrong with that. Over the course of an 82-game season, when you're listening to the same head coach over and over and over again, there's nothing wrong with a guy with 11 rings coming down and helping out at a practice once in a while. I'm sorry.
Well,
that's the most ridiculous thing.
No, I disagree.
So
when
he can come in and say a few things. It's just unfortunate that overall the talent on this team was not able to win. And part of the reason why is because your star player, I mean, we start pointing fingers at Hornacek and Phil Jackson. The bottom line is Carmelo Anthony can't move on the defensive end of the floor. And when your defense is that bad because you got to cover up for Porzingis, who's not the most mobile guy, and he's trying to play the four with Hernan Gomez at the five and then Carmelo Anthony at the three, you're slow with your foot speed at those three positions. Well, at those two positions. Hernan Gomez is fast at the five with his foot speed. So, I mean, offenses are breaking down the defense right and left. They're giving up a ton of points, and we're trying to point at a dysfunction between Phil Jackson and Jeff Hornacek.
Right.
The bottom line is you can't guard anyone because your guys can't move, and they can't keep up with the other team, and they're running circles around.
And then you ask yourself the question, who put the players on the court in the first place? Who made the decisions? I know that Phil Jackson did not make the decision to bring Carmelo here, but he did make the decision to give him a no-trade clause, which basically is hamstringing the Knicks right now, which brings me to my next question. Give me one or two teams that would want Carmelo Anthony, you know, the slow-footed defensive player that no longer has the athleticism that he had once that scared everybody. What teams would want him right now, and what could the Knicks get for him, or are the Knicks going to have to do the stretch provision and basically buy him out?
We'll see. If the Knicks do the stretch provision, it's obvious that nobody wanted him. I would be shocked if nobody wanted him, especially with the way the salary cap's going, what he makes. You know, you put him on an elite team where maybe even he becomes a third or fourth option, maybe even a scorer off the bench on a NBA championship caliber team. I can't imagine there's no teams in the NBA of the 30 team, or 29 teams that wouldn't want him.
$30 million bucks it's going to cost somebody. To take us as soon as he gets traded, obviously there's the kicker that goes into the back end of the contract. Let me ask you a question. If they do the stretch provision where they end up buying him out essentially,
right?
And he then goes and signs with somebody else, does that provision kick in, or is now is he free to sign with anybody for any amount of money?
He gets two checks.
He gets two checks.
Check from the Knicks, and he gets the check from the other team.
Which could be less than what it would be if another team had a trade for him and not give up anything because they know that the Knicks are going to have to get rid of him.
That's the move for other teams. And then other teams could get Carmelo Anthony for a veteran's minimum while the Knicks are paying his contract out.
Do you believe there's no – is there any scenario under which Carmelo Anthony will be in a Knick uniform next year?
Yeah. I think he really wants to be, and he's held a no-trade clause. And if Carmelo Anthony at this point in his career, I think it's, for me, at my point where he is in his career, I was at that point when I was about 29 years old. I was traded to Seattle. It was a team that wasn't going anywhere. It was Durant's rookie year. They were rebuilding. My single mission was to get traded to a contender. And I played my butt off for 5 months in this beginning of the, halfway through the season. I got traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I wanted to have a chance to win a title. I mean, for me, I don't know why Carmelo Anthony wouldn't want that, but you know, he obviously likes New York. He likes being settled here. He loves playing in the Garden. This is where he's always envisioned him. So different people, you know, don't have that inner desire to maybe win a championship because, you know, Phil has flat out said, listen, Carmelo, we're not very close to, you know, that goal. You know, he's basically said it, which is interesting to say it to the fan base. But at the same time, he wants Carmelo Anthony to be like most veterans and be like, okay, it's time for me to go chase a ring, to get a ring.
Right.
David West, he went to Golden State. He went to San Antonio. He just said, I've accomplished everything. He left $10 million on the table. I want that ring. That's what most veterans want to do. But maybe Carmelo Anthony's different.
Well, you never know. Before I let you go, I want to make sure, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I just want to make sure I have this right. I'm getting the sense that you respect the job that Phil Jackson's done here. And don't put the blame on him for where the Knicks are at. I just want to make sure I have that right.
Yes, I do.
How is that possible?
Because I know how hard it is to win in the NBA.
Like, it's been, he's been and a level of incompetence that's unmatched.
He inherited a team that was behind the eight ball competing with other teams in the East. We tend to forget that Atlanta has been a perennially good team, and they continue to make good moves in the front office. Milwaukee continues to draft well, hires a good coach. They continue to build upon talent year after year after year. Phil Jackson stripped the team down to absolutely nothing.
And hired Derek Fisher as its
head
coach.
Which I think he was doing a pretty good job, because Derek Fisher had Carmelo Anthony's ear. And at the beginning of that year, the way that team was playing at 21-20, I thought it was incredible that they were competing the way they were with that roster on the team.
Phil Jackson might be the worst executive in the history of the NBA.
I disagree with that statement.
I mean, three straight years losing over 50 games. What's he done that warrants respect?
It's not easy to win in the NBA. It's not. And, you know, he signed Carmelo Anthony because that's a guy that puts people in the seats, and he helps sell tickets at the Garden. And
how about the Noah deal?
Absolutely sold out. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know.
How about the Noah deal,
going into last season, did you think they were going to be that bad? I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he assembled getting Joakim Noah, getting Derrick Rose, getting Courtney Lee, getting Carmelo Anthony and Porzingis. You can't tell me you didn't think that team.
I thought they'd be better for sure, but I didn't realize how
going to the playoffs.
I didn't realize how bad Noah was physically, and they gave him $72 million when no one else offered him half that.
I would have said
I agree was a bad move.
I would have said 2 years fine with Joakim Noah, not 4 years. I guess they had to go four because somebody else obviously wanted him.
Yeah.
Then they brought in Derrick Rose, who decides to go missing in action, kind of like Matt Harvey did with the Mets. Right. I mean, look, you know, this is like a drama filled season. And they got to move Carmelo. He's got to get out of here, and they got to start over.
And I'm
with Wally. You know,
they started both nuts.
They started too late. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the Jets. Like, the Jets got drunk with the 10-6 Ryan Fitzpatrick Jets, and then they tried to follow that up the next year by adding some other veterans, and it never worked out.
I honestly can't believe my ears here. This is shocking to me that. I got a great amount of respect for what you do, Wally, and basketball. It's like I said, you know more than me and Boomer combined. But to say that you respect the job he's done is like blasphemy.
Well, I'm on the record last summer in saying that if this team doesn't make the playoffs, it's not on Phil Jackson. And I said it during the summer before the season.
No, you're being consistent.
He
I get all that.
Off
but...
getting Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, former MVPs, defensive players of the year. Yeah, I know Joakim was
he
at
didn't
the
play.
End of this, is hurt. But hey, you know, guys get hurt. You don't, you know, you can blow out a knee in the first game of the year. I mean, that happens in sports. That's something he couldn't control.
I mean, the whole thing with Kurt Rambis being a defensive coordinator.
I thought he was a little banged up and broken down, but you trust your doctors, you trust your therapist to say, okay, if I'm giving Joakim Noah, I would think they did the due diligence with the doctors and the physicals to say, okay, he'll probably be able to play 4 years. I would think that was the information.
Like, don't you think losing 50-plus games in three straight years is enough of a sample?
I mean, the way it turned out last year, it's got to fall down on someone, and Phil's the guy that put together the team. But I go on record saying last summer that I thought Phil did his job, putting those guys around Carmelo Anthony. And to me, the fact that it didn't work, it's got to fall on the fact that the coach couldn't make it work, and the fact that the leader of that locker room, whoever that was, the top three players, Carmelo, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and Porzingis, I put it on those four guys. The players are the guys that put the ball in the basket on the floor. Phil Jackson's not the guy that goes out there and puts the ball in the basket and defends and blocks shots and gets steals.
No, but he puts the team together, and the deals that he has made and not made, when you compare him to the guys that are really good at it in the NBA, I mean, he's in kindergarten. Other guys are getting their doctorate. I mean, he's in a joke, an absolute joke as a team president. It's I mean, there's no other way for me to put it. He has been an outright, unmitigated disaster as a team president.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with you saying that. You can have that opinion.
It's factual.
Okay? But I've been look, the facts definitely point in that direction. I am not disposing of that. No question. I agree with what you're saying. But at the same time, last year, with what he did putting that team together, I did not envision them going south the way they did.
You know what I think? I always think this. And, you know, you talked about Kevin McHale. I'll talk about Popovich. I'll talk about Bill Belichick. I'll talk about Danny Ainge and what he's doing up in Boston.
Sure.
You know, there is a culture that is around every
That's
team.
The key.
And there is no culture for the Knicks. And I think that's probably what's driving Porzingis crazy as well. So that's my take on it.
We got to move along here. I'm sure there's plenty more of this coming up in the months to come.
Oh, yeah.
Always appreciate you coming on, though, pal. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, appreciate that. All good. While he's playing my golf tournament.
Oh.
While he's playing in the golf tournament.
And he can't play softball.
Well, you know, he's got the whole thing going on.
I thought he was giving you the old see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, I did too.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.